Hello, my name is Tony Reid. Welcome to GAY, a radio programme for LGBTI people and their friends on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM and other access radio stations around New Zealand. So today you've got just me again, and I'm reviewing a book, Page Boy by Elliot Page. Notice the pun in the title. Elliot is one of the most famous trans people in the world at the moment. Actor Elliot Page has written a memoir, which I purchased in paper plus in Kapiti, even. It came out about a year ago, though. I'm a bit of a slow reader. To start by reading a bit of the author's note. At last I can sit with myself in this body, present, typing for hours, my dog Mo lounging in the sun, my back straighter, my mind quieter. This previously unimaginable contentment wouldn't have arrived without the health care I've received, and as attacks against gender-affirming care increase, along with efforts to silence us, it feels like the right time to put words on a page. So here I am, grateful and terrified, writing directly to you. Trans people face increasing physical violence, and our humanity is regularly debated in the media. And when we are given the opportunity to tell our stories ourselves, queer narratives are all too often picked apart, or worse, universalised. One person becomes a stand-in for all. There are an infinite number of ways to be queer and trans, and my story sticks to just one. In writing this story, I have remembered each moment to the best of my ability. When I could not remember details, I reached out to others who shared those experiences to gain more clarity. A few names have been changed and some other specifics have been altered when necessary to protect the identity of certain people. At certain points, I've referred to myself using my previous name and pronouns. This is a choice that felt right to me occasionally when talking about my past self, but it's not an invitation for anyone to do the same. So with that warning in mind, I will try to refer to Elliot as he, but in reviewing this book, it's quite difficult not to make a distinction when reading about the previous life of a trans person, especially when that person was already a famous actor. I'll do my best. And I was really helped by Wikipedia, which I noticed has used Page does this, Page did that throughout, thus avoiding he's and she's and avoiding Elliot's versus Ellen, unlike many of the people who comment on Facebook who glory in it. Page was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada in 1987. At a very early age, there are signs of ambiguity. "Can I be a boy?" I asked my mother at 6 years old. "No, hun, you can't. You're a girl," my mother responded. "But you can do anything a boy can do." So, halfway there. Page grew up in Canada and started acting as a child in indie films, gradually becoming better known. The big breakthrough was, of course, starring in Juno in 2007, where Page was nominated for an Oscar at the age of only 20. All serious relationships appear to be with women. It's not surprising when so many of Page's male acquaintances, which he thought were friendships, at some point would tend to try to make it sexual. It's amazing. There's just strings and strings of them. It always seems to end the same way. Obviously, heterosexual men find it difficult to control themselves. There is just really one lasting childhood friend, Mark, who survives right through to the end of the book. Although identifying strongly as a lesbian, Page did not come out until 2014. He has found it difficult to separate his roles from his real life, which is not recommended by most actors at the best of times. But seeing some of the roles he has played, it was not a good idea at all, and this contributed to a general unsettled feeling which continued long after we all knew that Page was a lesbian. But not really a happily settled lesbian. Not even getting married to a woman in 2018. Really, all that happened then was he got married and then suppressed the whole thing, obviously hoping that the marriage would solve issues, which it didn't. I'd always been told I was gay, made fun of for being a dyke. I felt more comfortable in environments with queer women, but inherently something in me knew that I was transgender. Something I had always known but didn't have the words for wouldn't permit myself to embrace. I was never a girl, I'll never be a woman. What am I to do? I used to say. Have always said. The world tells us we aren't trans, but mentally ill. That I'm too ashamed to be a lesbian, that I mutilated my body, that I will always be a woman, comparing my body to Nazi experiments, even. It is not trans people who suffer from a sickness, but the society that fosters such hate. As actress and writer Jen Richards once put it, it's exceedingly surreal to have transitioned 10 years ago, find myself happier and healthier than ever, have better relationships with friends and family, be a better and more engaged citizen, and yes, even more productive, and to then see strangers pathologise that choice. My being trans almost never comes up. It's a fact about my past that has relatively little bearing on my present, except that it made me more empathetic, more engaged in social justice. How does it hurt anyone else? What about my peace demands vitriol, violence, protections? So Page came out as transgender in December 2020. His wife was originally supportive, but it didn't really last and the marriage ended a year later. Page's parents were divorced when he was 2. He's always been closest to his mother. She originally refused to believe her child was gay, but has changed a lot along the way and was actually quite relieved when he finally came out as transgender. His father, on the other hand, not only refuses to accept his child as transgender, but publicly on social media supports some of the most hateful anti-trans comments about Page by others. They have had no contact for 5 years. At the end of the memoir, Page says, "As a trans person and a public one, the sensation is that I'm always pleading for people to believe me, which I imagine most trans people relate to. Tired of the wink and nod. When I came out in 2014, the vast majority of people believed me. They did not ask for proof. But the hate and the backlash I received were nothing compared to now, not even close. I was not nervous to tell anyone in my close circle when I came out as gay, but disclosing this new information felt different. I do wonder what some friends say behind my back and what they really think when they look at me. The truth is, in many ways, my narrative is still unfolding. I have been on testosterone for over a year now. Every Friday I wake up excited yet content, a new sense of calm in my life. I inject myself with 40 milligrams of tea. I'm changing, I'm growing. It's all just beginning. Let me just exist with you, happier than ever." Page has been very public throughout of all this, accepting the fame and, of course, notoriety for some that it brings. He was actually on the cover of Time in March 2021. You can't get much more public than that. He's definitely a brave person, has also made a specific show of the physical side of the transition. For example, by posing for shirtless pictures after his top surgery. He's also been lucky to be starring in a successful TV series, The Umbrella Academy, which valued him sufficiently to allow him to continue as a man the same role he began as a woman, which is interesting. So I recommend Page Boy by Elliot Page. Came out a year ago, but should still be around. Next, I thought I'd explain a bit more, following on from the programme about the CAST report last time, about the situation regarding gender recognition in the UK and where we're at. They have a Gender Recognition Act passed in 2004, which is, of course, when Tony Blair was Prime Minister. That was, for its day, quite advanced, although not as advanced as the 1995 Act that we had. That we had here, but they were both based on medical and legal recognition, and not so many people decided to take up gender recognition because it was rather a cumbersome procedure. As a follow-up to the Act, they produce a gender recognition approved countries order, and the first edition was in 2011. New Zealand was included in that, and it mostly consisted of what you would call friendly countries. The UK started moving with other countries. A select committee of the House of Commons recommended that self-declaration become the rule as far back as 2016. In 2018, this reform was promised by the then Prime Minister Theresa May. That was cancelled by Boris. Banning conversion therapy had also been promised and has still been promised all along, but endlessly delayed, partly, I think, because it would include transgender. And that is also probably one of the main reasons that they have for getting rid of it. Led by J.K. Rowling, the TERFs grew in influence. If you are of the party that think that J.K. Rowling is unjustly maligned and is not as extreme as all that, just look at what happens to some supporters of transgender people and how she deals with them. Both Graham Norton and more recently David Tennant have been cases here. They basically get accused of approving the rape of women. That can only mean that she thinks that all transgender women are just men in skirts out to rape women, which I think most of us who know transgender women know is not the case. The Conservative minister, Kemi Badenoch, responsible, has also been very gender critical and had a spat with David Tennant, brave enough to take on Doctor Who even. The UK abandoned any policy of self-declaration a while back under her watch, and Labour has eventually agreed that as well. The Liberal Democrats are more liberal to some extent, although even they don't completely support self-declaration. That is just for the Greens and the Scottish National Party. And, of course, this started to become more of a international issue when the SNP passed a bill in the Scottish Parliament. It had support for all the parties except the Conservatives, and even then one gay MSP broke ranks, but was vetoed by the British government, the first time Scottish legislation had been overruled. This highlighted the issue of the UK not wanting to recognise Scottish transitions because they were using different rules that the UK government had decided not to introduce after, despite the previous promises. And therefore it became an international problem, because if it would have been a problem for Scots, it's a problem for all these other countries who've had the nerve to introduce self-declaration, of which we are, of course, one guilty country. And over the last few years, that reform has been passed by many other countries. So early in 2023, the dreaded Kemi Badenoch announced a much delayed review of the list of approved countries. I should hasten to add that Kemi's title was Equalities Minister. Her role was rather ironic, we felt. This approved list appeared in early 2024, and my God, was it different to the 2011. Now the friendly countries recognised are places like, wait for it, Belarus, China, Cuba, Georgia, Turkey, and if you're a transgender person in those countries, you don't need to apply for a gender recognition certificate, which is what they're called. You get a free pass. But the people who don't get a free pass because they have introduced self-declaration are many European countries, most of Australia, all of Canada. In the US, down from 46 states recognised to 21, all of them pretty red, I should imagine, rather. New Zealand, of course, and several in Latin America. More amusingly, Ireland has never been on the list at all, either in 2011 or now, partly because it went from nothing to full self-declaration. They claim there's been no problem, and they ask the British, don't you want to know about our system? You know, wouldn't it help you? Oh, no. The English still, I'm afraid, have a very colonial attitude towards Ireland. It's seen as boggy and ignorant. So that is where we are now, and that means that any transgender Kiwis wishing to move to the UK have to now supply medical information to get a gender recognition certificate. They can't just say, look, here is my piece of paper from New Zealand. So they basically have to start all over or live in Belarus first. In the Labour government, Kemi Badenoch has gone, although she's kept her seat, unfortunately. Labour has also moved to opposing self-declaration, but it's far more likely, I would hope, to be embarrassed by the choice of friends and enemies in the new list. Hopefully the new ministers will be more open to listening to people who aren't gender-critical TERFs. But the new health secretary, Wes Streeting, who is an out gay man, is apparently already planning to make puberty blockers for under-18s illegal in the US permanently, as per the CAS report. So there are struggles ahead, but people have commented that the two ministers in charge of equalities, who are the main one, are both women, who have a much better track record. Although Wes Streeting had a very good track record until he suddenly saw the light a while back and said he regretted ever saying that transgender women are women. So there you are. Don't move to the UK. Before we have some music, just another tiny and very sad story. I've been one of the many people I tend to have started following on the internet are a couple called Mike Heslin and Scotty Dynamo. Scotty Dynamo isn't his real name. That is his music name. But on Instagram, he goes by Scotty Dynamo. Scotty had two severe bouts of cancer, and Mike was there fully supporting him all the way through and very much becoming part of the whole family. So then 2 years ago, Mike proposed, and last year they got married. And it was one of those nice American marriages where all the families are part of it and nobody stayed at home sulking. At the beginning of July, Scotty suddenly announced that Mike, who was a young man of 30, looked pretty fit and healthy, had suddenly had a cardiac event and went into hospital and died a week later. He's obviously still posting endless pictures of the two of them together, and I suspect this will go on for a while. One gets very used on Facebook in particular for any sort of pictures of positive gay things to have the usual stupid fundamentalists marching in. Well, they quote Bible texts, but just give the reference as if everybody can find their way around the Bible. I mean, we know what they are. And, of course, one thing they have to say to justify all their prejudice is to say that gay and lesbian couples can't be in love. You know, it's only lust. They can't be in love. And when you get a situation like that, it just makes me bloody angry, to be honest. You know, I mean, who is the less useful member of society? A couple like Mike and Scotty, or some of these fundamentalists who actually think they're doing anybody, let alone Jesus, a favour by wheeling out things that I think come close to blasphemy. But anyway, if you want to feel sad, have a look at the story of Mike Heslin and Scotty Dynamo. I'm going to finish with some music, and we have Ben Platt again. If you're not familiar with Ben Platt, you should be by now, because you've heard enough from me. His third album has just come out, and it's called Honeymind. And quite a lot of it is dedicated to his fiancée, Noah Galvin, who is also quite a well-known gay actor. He's just finished a run in The Good Doctor, which I think is still showing endless episodes, presumably to catch up on TV3. Anyway, with this new album in mind, he launches in a run of 18 shows at the Palace Theatre in New York City. That's really rather equivalent of the London Palladium in many ways. It had a long history, especially of one-person shows. It was being refurbished for 8 years, so Ben and his 18 shows are open. The programme was directed also by his friend Michael Arden. They were together in Parade, you'll remember. There were lots of guest artists, duets, including Noah, culminating on the last night of the run with Sam Smith, and he's now already touring Honeymind nationwide. So we'll have a song from Honey Mind, probably one of my favourites. It's quite fun. It's called All American Queen. And first of all, we will hear a brief introduction to the song from Ben Platt, explaining what it's all about. And then we'll have a performance of All American Queen, which is a rather fun song, sung with tongue very firmly in cheek.
All American Queen I wrote with Alex Hope, who's one of my favourite collaborators. They're another queer artist, and we've written together on both my other albums. They wrote I Want to Love You But I Don't with me from Reverie, and Grow As We Go with me. And we've never gotten the opportunity to really hunker down just the two of us and work for an extended period of time. And we did so on this record, and they have five songs on the record. And probably my favorite that we did together is All American Queen. You know, we both loved the idea of a sort of deeply traditionally American joyful anthem in the vein of Sweet Child of Mine and things like that, that is just full of queer imagery and queer language, and the idea of like a story of just growing up a queer person in America as a purely, just like a purely joyful part of the fabric of society kind of thing, in a way that I haven't necessarily heard expressed in a song like that. So it was such a joyful someone to write, and it makes me really happy to listen to and to sing, and I think it's a sunny song.
Make him weak. He's got a dry sense of humor and a fabulous streak. Never stays in the dark, 'cause he'd rather be free, so he can light up the room 7 days a week. Hey, he's a Coca-Cola sipping, true and tried, stars and stripes, just a homegrown cowboy kissing Valentine, sweet as apple pie. Just a homegrown cowboy kissing Valentine, sweet as apple pie. The brightest single sparkle that you've ever seen. Ooh, baby, and he's proud to be. Watch him dance in the American dream. We love a red-blooded all-American queen.
You You can hear this program again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. or Thursday at 5 p.m. It is also available on our website at www.coastaccessradio.org.nz or just Google Coast Access Radio, Kapiti Gay. This is Tony Reid for GAY on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM and other access stations around New Zealand.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.